You're listening to Away With Words, the show about language and how we use it. I'm Grant Barrett.
And I'm Martha Barnett. And today we're talking about the ways that people communicate or fail to.
We haven't talked yet today about linguistic mixed marriages. That's where one spouse grows up speaking English in a particular country, and the other spouse comes from a different country with another variety of English.
And sometimes their misunderstandings are over something as small as a preposition.
Hi, this is Steve calling from Fort Worth.
Hi, Steve.
Hey there, what's up?
Well, I've heard on your show various times you talking about mixed marriages, so to speak, or mixed couples where language issues get into a cause a bit of a problem. And I have a question regarding the term pass by and what it really means.
Pass
and I have
by.
To put it into context here. Because to me, I grew up in Australia, so to me, to pass by something means to physically drive straight past it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I was in a relationship with a lady in Canada, and to her, pass by meant to physically go to a place.
Oh, so she would pass by the store and pick up a few things.
Yes, that's right, exactly. And how this all came out was because she wanted to buy a particular little coffee table, and it was supposedly at this furniture store. And I really wasn't keen on the whole idea. And so we went back and forth for a while. Eventually, I said, okay, I'll call in tomorrow night on the way home from work. And what I meant when I said I'll call in meant was I will physically go there. She thought that I was saying I will telephone them to see if they have it.
Oh.
And she said, no, I don't want you to call in. I want you to pass by. And I said, well, what's the point of passing by? I'll call in. Because I thought she was saying drive past the store and don't go there. And anyway, this went on for about 15 minutes. And eventually we found out we were saying the same thing. And then to add insult to injury, she said to me, speak the English, as if
no.
I couldn't even speak my own language. Anyway, have you ever heard of this issue before?
You know, it's an interesting category of all the different ways that we say to go to a place.
Yeah.
And there's more than just the two, right?
Sure.
There's a ton of these. Drop by is another one.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah.
We have, so you said we call in, and you can either call in or call in at or call in on. You can call at. You can call by a place. You can drop by a place. You can drop by at a place. You can drop in, pass by, stop by. Stop by or stop in. Come past is another one. I think, is that American South
that
they say come past?
Come past, I don't know.
To visit, that's definitely the American South.
I've had somebody say to me, fall over. Why don't you fall over on Tuesday? And I thought, well,
fall
why would
over?
I want to fall over? Yeah,
I've never
fall
heard
over
of it.
To my house.
Call on, come round, come over.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you say when you're speaking to somebody and you want them to arrive, right?
Yeah.
To go by. There's one. Mm. This is, I grew up with this in the Midwest.
Sure.
You go by the store. And it literally means that you go to the store, you park, you get out, you buy some stuff, get back in your car and come home. It doesn't mean that you drive by and wave.
Yeah. Well,
and that's what she thought you were saying.
Some of those that you've just mentioned, I'm thinking I would have been confused by a lot of those.
Yeah. And they're very context sensitive, but it sounds like you guys hit the perfect storm of context blindness, I guess, because these phrasal verbs are kind of opaque to outsiders. They're very idiomatic and they require a long history of understanding in order to completely get them. Did this relationship last?
Well, no, it didn't, surprisingly enough. Maybe communication was the problem. But actually, one of the things I realized is where I grew up, we talk in metaphors a lot. And
yeah.
I think that's confusing to other people. And I hadn't realized how much confusion I was causing. Like someone said, were you busy today? Oh, I was flat out like a lizard drinking.
Nice.
And then, you know, and to me it makes perfect sense, but to other people it can be really confusing. And I always was thinking, oh, this person doesn't understand me, but I didn't stop to think I'm probably talking in a very difficult to understand way sometimes.
Oh, no. It's very good. I think of Australian English like the part of The Wizard of Oz where the movie goes from black and white to color. So this is when Dorothy comes out of the house and sees Munchkinland for the first time. You're like, wow!
The land of Oz. Literally.
Exactly. But you know, Martha, those linguistic mixed marriages don't even have to involve different countries. Sometimes they're between spouses who both speak American English but grew up in different states.
Yeah, remember Selena?
Well, I have a question about a debate that I have with my boyfriend on a regular basis. He's from Texas, and I'm from New York. It's really a wonder we can even communicate. We've been together for 9.5 years, and often I have to get out my Texan English dictionary. But one of the things that we discuss on a regular basis is the difference in how we say something when we're describing how to throw something out. He says that the way the difference is because of where we were raised. He was born in Dallas. I was born in New York in the Bronx. And when he throws something out, he says, "Oh, you know, I don't need that. Just chunk it." And I say, "Oh, I don't need that. Just chuck it." So I say chuck is the correct way, and he says chunk. So I wanted to get the definitive answer on this so we could finally settle this or not.
So you say chuck, C-H-U-C-K, and that means to toss or to throw. And he says chunk, C-H-U-N-K, and that means to toss or to throw, right?
To him it does, yes.
Here's the big news, and to millions of people in the American South. He's right, you know. It's a Southernism, and he's not alone. Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia, you name it. In the South, they say it.
But Chuck isn't wrong.
Chuck isn't wrong either. You were both right. But he's right. It's about where he came. He learned it because of where he comes from.
Oh, well, that's not really thrilling to hear.
I know who's going to be doing the happy dance.
But here's the thing.
I think he's going to be doing the happy dance, exactly. And it was because it was a Southern thing. And I even said, well, Martha's from the South. She's going to know the answer to this.
Well, you know, you might find this chunk verb in the speech of some Southerners, but not all Southerners. But you almost never find it in the speech of people from anywhere else in the country, the North and the West and so forth.
Yeah, I have to say, I would say chuck.
Yeah,
chuck.
I would usually say chuck too, but I have heard chunk. The word goes back at least 200 years in American English. It's been recorded as an Americanism for a very long time, specifically called out in a variety of dictionaries as being particular to the American South for a very long time.
That's so interesting.
Wow.
It's interesting to me that they mean the same thing, because to me, to chunk something is much, it's something much heavier.
It's a heavier.
Yeah, so it lands with a thud.
Interesting.
Exactly. Or, you know, cooking and chopping something up in chunks it just, I thought my head was going to spin the first time I heard it, but he's going to be so thrilled
to
hear this.
I would argue that you need to appreciate this Southern gentleman, well, I hope he's a gentleman, that lives in your house.
Yeah, don't chuck him. Don't get rid of him.
And start to find the charm in his particular way of saying things. I'm sure you've got some New Yorkese in you that he wonders about, right?
Oh, I definitely do. And with my family, he's learned a whole new slew of words.
Nice. Yeah. I love that. I love it when two cultures get together in a family, right? In the same household.
It's great. And you know, the thing is that we drive an 18-wheeler, so we're all over the country.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
We do hear a lot of different words and phrases in different parts of the country. So I do appreciate all of those differences. But when it comes right down to having a battle at your kitchen table.
Or in the cabin. Only one of you gets to sleep in the bunk that night.
That's right.
Grant, wouldn't you love it if you could just wave a magic wand and become a fly on the wall of that truck's cabin?
Yeah, but who wants to eat at the Flying J every day?
And speaking of things you'd like to hear, we know the kind of programming you'd like to hear because you're listening right now. And there is something that you can do to make sure you hear more of it. Call to support this station.
Get ready for the important number. It's coming in 3, 2, 1. Here you go.